Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner, my friends, for it must be a Tuesday, but I guess it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left, and the big fella over there behind the glass, Will Ortner, doing duty tonight.
Let's go!
That's my Bill Rafferty.
Send it in, big man!
You know, they pass the ball, and then they just give it to the big fella.
Onions!
No one give me onions, please.
Are you not an onions fan?
I like them on food. I don't like them like an apple.
Oh,
well, I don't know many that do.
I know a couple that do. I don't know.
Are you hanging out with Stanley Yelnats from Holes? Like,
yeah,
come on.
Unfortunately, I've got from some got some weird tasting people. Dude.
Shia LaDouche.
I was teaching that book at one point.
My oldest and I.
That's a good time for students and teacher.
My oldest and I, we read that together. She was reading it in school, and so I told her I'd read it with her.
I'm going to say she's around 6th, 7th grade?
She read it in 4th grade. A lot more educated in Vancouver School District than whatever your...
I believe in Ridgefield, it's you're breaking into holes right before you break into a Christmas Carol. So I think that's 6th grade.
Okay. So it's like, right, they learned to read in 6th grade to where my kids learned to read in like 1st grade.
Well, you're acting high and mighty. Which Vancouver school district are you in? Are you going to Bay?
I'm VPD. I went to Bay, so I understand how bad it is. My kid's going to go to Skyview.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's high end.
Top of the line.
The cocaine there is phenomenal.
I would not know.
Okay, sure.
I only know that from the kids that I met that went there when I was
there. Does Skyview have that really big auditorium?
No idea.
They all do now, I think. Yeah. But yeah, they have a big one. Yeah.
Bay has a huge gym.
Not familiar with the
huge gym, because those upper decks that have basketball courts, those can all pull out to bleachers.
Well, and Bay has the best baseball stadium in, I think, the entire area.
Thank you to the Propstras.
What is the Bay?
Hudson's Bay.
Oh.
Hudson's Bay Fur Trading Company.
Is that their mascot?
No, they're the fur traders? They're the Eagles.
That'd be a cool mascot.
The Fort Vancouver, they are the Trappers.
They are, yeah.
Which is like a fur trader.
Ridgefield, the Potatoes.
Are they really?
Spuds, Ridgefield Spudders.
I don't know anything about
middle school or
Vancouver.
The tater tots.
No, that's the Union Ridge, school. The elementary school. Do you know what they call the preschoolers?
What?
The hash browns.
Are you serious right now? That's adorable.
Yeah, middle school is dumb. They're like the herons or something. keep with the potatoes. Be the French fries.
2A life, dude.
Yeah, they dropped the ball on that. They 100% did.
Will probably spends way too much time on 2A life.
I was at a 2A tryout today.
See?
But it was for your Cougs.
What is all this Vancouver talk?
For my Cougs?
Your Cougs.
My Cougs are 2A level.
I met your new D-line coach
today. Actually, my Cougs are definitely 2A level.
No. No, I like...
We got a 5-star? Came from a 2A school?
I'll tell you what, right now, I met your new D-line coach and tight end coach.
Are they 8-on-8?
They're 11-on-11. And I'll tell you right now, those guys are some straight shooters. I like them.
I like the new regime coming in, but also Wazoo football is dead, so that's cute.
I don't know. Rodgers he's got a good crew. I liked him. I really did.
Cool.
I'm so confused about everything being talked about right now.
Well, when you find out that Wake Forest is a better job than Wazoo, yeah, we out.
Is it though?
I think so.
I don't know.
It's in a real conference.
That's true.
The ACC is not begging for Tulane to join their conference.
Wake Forest might be the worst football school in that conference.
ACC is not begging for UTSA to join. Grand Canyon in basketball.
I'm looking at a list of ACC teams right now. Wake Forest very well might be the worst football school in the ACC.
Cool. They're in the ACC.
Yeah, but so was Cal and Stanford.
So was Vanderbilt for a while, and they beat Alabama.
I'm just saying,
they were the worst in their conference.
When was the last good year for Wake Forest? It wasn't too long ago, actually.
Chris Paul.
It was like, we're changing sports now.
I was going to say, is that like Jay Baseball? Cutler? Is Jake? No, Jay Cutler's Purdue.
Vandy.
Oh, you're right. I knew it was one of those bad schools that's black and like gold.
Smoking Jay Cutler, he went to Vanderbilt. They got the best college basketball stadium, though. It's the elevated court.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I love it.
So what were you doing? You were mingling with the Wazoo coaches today?
Yeah, you looking for some co-eds or what, dude?
No, they're hitting the recruiting trail right now. They're out visiting.
Ridgefield's a hotbed?
Not Ridgefield. They were in my hometown.
Oh,
they're in Hawkinson.
So Hawkinson.
How is Will...
all the rich kids live out there now instead of Camas.
How's Will Ortner shoehorning his way into this, though?
I wasn't shoehorning my way. It was... One of my players.
Your player? Are you an agent all of a sudden?
No, I coach.
You coach what?
I've been coaching the O-line over there for like the last couple of years.
What school?
Hawkinson.
Oh, how about that?
Don't look up the record. Don't do it. Don't be mean
to me. I'm doing it.
Don't be mean to me. We won a state title not that long ago.
Well, listen.
He wasn't there, but they did not too long ago.
Those seniors were my sophomores. Without my leadership, what would they have been able to do?
They would have never gotten there.
Without me, we won the first playoff game. Without my leadership, what would they have been able to accomplish?
Will, baby. That is that's a rough 2024, 2025 slate there.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Does it have the scores?
No, I can find that.
Okay, look at the scores. Because it's the record is a lot worse than what it really was.
Yeah, a lot of one score games, 10 points against Columbia. You're losing to Columbia River?
Yeah,
but and a cascade of boos rained down from the stands.
No, we're going to break down every single Hawkinson High School football game. That's what the Hot Corner has become now that I'm here.
Oh, God. Fife really gave you a whooping.
They were ranked at the end of the year.
Thank you for coming. We appreciate it. We'll see you guys next week.
Watch listenership just plummet.
Well, it didn't start anywhere, so that's a good thing.
I don't know.
Somebody asked me the other day, what's the monetary value of your show? And I said, I'm pretty sure we lose money. My mom doesn't even listen anymore.
I was going to say, well, take how much you get paid every year and put a negative next to that.
Yeah, if it makes you guys feel any better, I get paid more than both of you.
For this role, yes.
Well,
yes.
Joe's at zero, so that helps.
Yes. That is true.
That's a big swing in the average there.
Joe does
this out of the good of his heart.
This might be the first time that I'm not the least paid.
You are not.
That's right. My payroll comes out of a different budget on the spreadsheet there.
But sometimes I see your name on TVs. Nobody even knows that I work here. So at least you got that going for you, Joe.
What are you talking about?
Sometimes on the TVs, it's like, it's like, Joe sold more than anyone this quarter, and we love Joe.
Well, that hasn't shown up at any time soon.
Clearly, he's not selling this show.
No, I think we've already been over this. If I were to power rank everything as far as what to sell, this would be a throw-in on a package.
What would you say you do here?
This would be like, hey, and if you want, you can sponsor the Hot Corner? If you want, they're like, no.
Fair or foul, brought to you by the bum that I almost hit in my car.
Yeah, most of them are like, no, we're fine. We don't need to sponsor that show. It's all good.
Do you get asked if you still do that podcast?
Oh, you're still doing that, huh?
Yeah.
No one's asked me that.
I got asked today, do you still do that podcast? And I'm like, do you mean live terrestrial radio?
You mean Beers on Us?
That thing's been dead for half a decade.
You haven't lived until you have a sixth grader critiquing your job and them telling you, why aren't you in podcasting yet?
What do you mean? I have a sixth grader at home.
Are they critiquing you? Have they asked you why you're not in podcasting
yet? I come home and they're like, really, that sweatshirt? And I'm like, wow, I can't even get dressed.
They're so mean. They're brutal.
Brutal. They're brutal. Absolutely brutal. Hello, Will.
Hi. Good to see you.
I'm happy to see you.
Buck asked if we were doing the Hawk Corner.
The Hot Corner?
Hawk.
The Hawk.
Hawk 2 and spit on that thing.
Dude, she could be dead.
Yeah, we haven't seen her in a while.
Hawk 2 is dead?
Oh, man. She created like a crypto coin, did a whole pump and dump scheme, and she hasn't been heard from in like 2.5 months.
I like the concept of pump and dump with Hawk 2.
Yeah, it fits.
I have a question, though.
It all tracks.
With all of those, like Taylor Mathis did the same thing where she like pump and dumped, and basically everyone has their own coin now. I think even Trump has a coin.
I think I saw.
My name's Alfred D'Elia. At home, they call me Big Al.
He probably has a coin.
A coin called Dingers.
At one point, if you start a coin and just say you're going to do a pump and dump, like, is that illegal?
Like, hey guys, buy this.
This is garbage, but do it.
Buy it.
And then we out.
And then hopefully you get out before I do.
I saw Ezekiel Elliott also has a new coin as well.
Didn't Kayvon Thibodeau do that?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think he bought an NFT.
Definitely sounds like something
an NFT.
He would do.
I think he had NFTs. I still don't understand them.
Monkey pictures, right? It's monkey pictures, I believe.
So you know how there's, I don't want to get too much into this because we're already up against it, but like, you know how there is like, okay, there's boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, but there's this like weird cross section of Gen X and millennials that some of us want to claim to be Gen X because we kind of missed out on that millennial boom, but technically we were born in that millennial era.
This is me with Gen Z and millennial.
Okay. So you feel the same thing. This is where Gen Xers are going to get exposed as true Gen Xers, is that I don't understand NFTs, crypto, or anything like that. So that makes me the boomer of the millennial, which probably makes me Gen X.
What? I feel like we just did algebra.
No, I actually get exactly what he's saying, because technically I'm Gen Z. I'm 1997, so 97 is the first year that's technically Gen Z.
But you feel more millennial.
But I'm more millennial because everyone else that I knew that's like older than me.
Because of nepotism and stuff like that.
Like it's millennial. Like I went through, like I had a Razor as a first phone. Most, you know, Gen Z kids had an iPhone as a first phone. Mm. Just because that's what it was when they came along a couple years later. So,
God, you guys are so Sigma.
Dude, don't bring that in here.
I don't even know what that means. Boomer alert.
Yeah, it's.
I don't even know what it means.
Boomer alert.
They all say it.
You're not fluent in brain rot yet, Will?
I tell him to shut up.
Hey, do you know what this thing is?
Oh,
that means steal second.
Is that what that means? Do you guys know what that means? My kids do it all the time.
It's what the Rizzler does. He gets his chin.
And then I do that and they like die laughing.
I believe it's
mewing.
Who's the Rizzler?
The Rizzler?
Jim Carrey in the Batman movie?
He's like a really fat, obese, like 8-year-old. He's awesome.
No, what he's
singers.
What
he's Italian.
Yeah, he does kind of look like Alfred D'Elia or Albert D'Elia. He's showing off his jawline because now that's apparently the thing with the kids where you want to have this very distinct, defined jawline.
Oh, I can't find my jawline because it's buried in the triple chins I got going.
That's why they were buying those like little ball things that you could chew on to strengthen your jaw.
Like
muscles.
A buzz ball?
It looks just like a Tide Pod, but it's pretty much, apparently it doesn't pop.
I'm done with this. Oakley Doakley. We got a baseball show for you tonight. There's a lot to get into. Top of the 8 o'clock hour Hall of Fame vote came across. We'll look at 2026 real quick for fun, but obviously there's a little bit to chatter about this year's inductees. A lot to get to as well. What else do I have on the list, Joe? Paul Skeens. Skeens on the sheet.
Paul Skeens, Dodgers, rest in piss. We hate you all.
The Dodgers have more starting pitchers than the entire American League Central.
We got some Hall of Fame stuff to get to. You already mentioned. Yep. I was going to say that, we can do the 2026 preview right now.
Nope.
And we're done. There is nothing after this year, it seems like.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch. And the season's over.
So stick with us. But when we come back, Patrick would like to pay tribute to a legend, to one of the greats to ever do this, as we've been off for a couple weeks and we haven't had the chance, and I will give you some love. We'll do that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
718 Portland Sports Leader here. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. I have them on my page, Will, just in case.
I've found them. You're the only show with them where they're at. I just want that
made clear. Well, hey, blame the guy who's throwing up right now.
I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just saying every other show, they're at the very top.
That is that's normally the case. But again, blame the dude who thought he could trust the Jack in the Box on the corner of what is it, 22nd and Thurman or whatever it is up there in Northwest.
Is that where he got it?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, he had it yesterday in the studio with him. It was either that or the Dutch Bros, but he gets that all the time. And, I don't know if you've been to that Jack in the Box. I think I probably dodged food poisoning 8 times from that place.
Oh, I've eaten that place many times.
I know.
Never food poisoning.
Oh, every time I get it, I'm like, this could be it. I start sending texts. Love you all.
I love you, Mama. Yeah. Tell my mama I love her.
Is everything okay?
Tell my mama I love her.
Maybe. I just had a Jumbo Jack, so we'll find out. You will not catch me eating one of those god-awful tacos, though. Regardless of what Jack in the Box it is.
Oh, I love those tacos.
They're so good.
No,
totally worth
they're not.
I love those tacos. My friend, speaking of things that I love.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
We lost Bob Uecker. I had some conversations with some friends, and we decided that the three goats of play-by-play baseball go Vin Scully 1, Dave Niehaus 2, and Bob Uecker 3. Something just really fun about Bob Uecker.
Well, I
we
think
thought, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, I think it's probably just because of his acting career, especially his contributions to the movie Major League.
I think
that kind of gives him a little bit of a nod to that top three, possibly number one.
I think we looked at it like no one tells stories like Vin. Nobody tells stories like Vin Scully.
And
that's the guy.
And what?
Yeah. And that's the story of Mike Matheny and the bird poop.
Yes.
Like, Vin tells stories like nobody else. Niehaus we loved because Niehaus was full of emotion. Break out the mustard and rye bread, Grandma. It's a grand salon. Like, you know, like he had that emotion. And that's what was so great. Bob Uecker's a straight comedian. That guy's just comedy. Not just Major League, but like calling Brewers games. They asked him, they said, you know, somebody in an interview with Bob Uecker said, hey, man, like, you as a player, dude, like, you only batted, like, 175 in your career. And Bob Uecker said,
200.
202 with runners in scoring position. And, like, that's the guy Bob Uecker was. Bob Uecker called games last season. Like, this guy did it. He played in the 50s and still called games last season. I saw this amazing stat from him. He played in a game against a team that was managed by Casey Stengel, who managed in the 20s. And last year, he called a game with Juan Soto on the field, who was signed till 2039. That's over 100 years of baseball that Bob Uecker spans.
That's generational. Generations. Many generations. God, that's old.
When Major League Baseball turned to the point where when you had MLB TV, you could watch the video, but turn on the radio calls. I do that for the Guardians because I love Tom Hamilton. I would do that with Bob Uecker just to listen to Bob Uecker. You know, because the Brewers would always play a noon game on a Tuesday. And I could watch that at home doing nothing. And I would just say, well, I mean, if I'm watching the Brewers, I might as well throw on Bob Uecker.
Fun fact about Bob Uecker that I never knew. In March 1987, he was at WrestleMania 3 as the ring announcer.
Yep.
For Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
Yep, and there's a great promo. There's a great promo before of him interviewing Andre the Giant. And at the end of it, Andre the Giant puts his hands around Bob Uecker's neck and chokes him, and Bob Uecker sells it. He goes, ah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen that clip before.
It's hilarious. And I, you know, as a wannabe baseball historian, and Larry Stone, if you're out there listening, as a wannabe baseball Hall of Fame voter, like, I love to pay homage to some of these important dudes that go. And Bob Uecker is one of the greats, one of the best, one of the absolute most fantastic. And I don't know if, you know, with Vin gone and even John Sterling retiring and Niehaus is gone and now Uecker's gone, I don't know if we're going to get guys like that anymore. Tom Hamilton is great. I know I'm biased when I say that as a Cleveland fan, but Tom Hamilton's going into the Hall of Fame this year as the Ford Fick Award winner. But I don't know if we're going to see guys like Bob Uecker anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like they're so old. I mean, I'm
but
trying
it's
to
not that. I'm talking about the entertainment value of these guys.
But again, I'm trying to think of, again, who's calling games right now on radio for teams. I don't know every single radio play-by-play guy for every team. So who is of that ilk? Like, is there anybody that is kind of on that upper echelon, that, again, sort of generational timeline as far as being able to be an announcer like those three guys? I mean,
Sims, there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
No, he's not allowed to ever be on that list.
But he's back. He's on the CW.
Yeah, he's C-dub guy now, where he doesn't even deserve that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think the way media is right now, you know, everybody wants to be Joe Buck. You know, Joe Buck is the, or a Bob Costas. Those are the penultimate baseball guys. And they do it with class. They do it with structure. There's not a lot of bias, although if you ask me, there's a lot of bias. But there's less emotion. It's more about, you know, it's kind of like what we say about the referees. Like, don't, if you know the referee's name, that's a bad thing. And I kind of feel like announcers are kind of saying, if you know their name, that's a bad thing. And I think in baseball, that's not how it should go. I want to see these guys. I want guys that have a ton of emotion and say crazy things like,
that's all we got. One damn hit.
You can't say damn on the air.
Don't worry. Nobody's listening anyway.
I stole that line from Bob Uecker. You know, people say, oh, it's the hot corner. I'm like, who cares? Nobody's listening. That's great. Yeah. And the contribution to Major League, almost all those lines are all ad-lib.
I'm going through a list of some of the on-air play-by-play guys in MLB baseball, and it's rarefied air, man. It's really hard to find someone that is in that ilk of those three that you named.
And I think there's guys
sort of, but, like, it's a passing of the torch, passing of generations, in a sense, that Bob Uecker was the last of a dying breed.
Now, what did I do wrong?
Now,
well, he's still kicking.
There's John Sterling, but John Sterling is like number two, Derek Jeter, and that's not as exciting.
Just a bit outside.
Well, and he's not doing every game anymore. Like, they're just running him out there.
No, I'm just saying. I just wish, you know, there and you. Pass that on to other sports. There's still no...
Have you ever been to a volcano?
You know, like, we need more of that. I've always been saying this. I'm waiting for Barstool or someone to finally get some sort of licensing deal to call games. And somebody sits there and they're like, you know what? That's a bolt bleep call. I think that guy's a bleep and bleep.
Barstool did it. It was bad. It was rough.
Well, because they had the wrong people.
Right. You gotta have a special person. I don't...
But if, like, Andrew Dice Clay came on and started breaking down an NBA game, I might listen. I think he sucks.
Didn't we already try that with, what's his name, Dennis?
Dennis Miller?
Yeah.
But he can't, like, drop F-bombs.
No. What's that one dude, Bob Menery, got all famous because he was doing that? He was
the,
like,
fake ones, yeah.
Yeah, the fake calls of him cursing and saying stuff, and I would love it, but... yeah, I don't think FCC will ever approve of that.
Thanks, streaming.
Thanks, Janet's nip.
Streaming, baby.
Yeah, get it on the old
YouTube. I'd love Kirk Herbstreit to be calling a Thursday night game and be like, look, Al, that guy running down the field is a bitch.
I would like Kirk Herbstreit.
You know, like, that would be amazing.
I would like Kirk Herbstreit to stay away from football broadcasts in general.
Do you think it's because... Like, the people of that ilk, right? You go Niehaus, Vin Scully, Uecker. They weren't really taught how to do it. They just did it.
Yeah.
They went out and they used their own personality. Where, you know, I mean, Joe went through it at Oregon. I went through it at Central.
Wazoo.
Right? Like, you go through those journalism classes, and what do they teach you? They teach you to not give bias, right? It's more about the voice itself than necessarily letting your personality show. So... maybe it kind of gets taught out of people. Like, I really like Ian's kid.
Ian.
Thank you. Noah Eagle.
Noah? Dude, that guy's got some chompers.
I like
He's
Noah
no
Eagle.
Ian Eagle.
I like Noah. But I don't think that Noah shows a personality, really, aside from
Ian
the
doesn't
one.
Doesn't either.
Neither one of them do, but they have great voices, so they are where they are. I almost wonder if, like, that personality-driven stuff has been taken out.
I'm really into that Collinsworth kid. His son.
Jack?
I'm joking.
Okay.
That guy sucks.
It's a good thing Jordan isn't here. He'd have a full-on nepotism meltdown right there.
All right. Well, that's it. That's it.
My heart!
I have waxed poetic long enough about the great Bob Uecker. Rest in peace. We lost him a couple days ago.
He's a bit before my generation. You know, I know that I was hearing some of the other shows talk about how he would go on Johnny Carson all the time.
Johnny Carson said nobody ever made him laugh harder than Bob Uecker.
See, and he's just like, what play-by-play guy has ever had that sort of relationship, that sort of cachet with the entertainment industry like that?
Yeah, the answer might be Vin Scully, but it's probably Bob Uecker.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't remember Vin Scully in any movies having... having good lines. No. And, I mean, this Bob Uecker is one of a kind.
Don't sleep on Major League 2. That one's really good, too. And he's really great in that.
I need to go back and watch that all the way through.
All right, when we come back, Roky Sass, my boy Sass.
Oh, my God.
Has found a team. And I think we all play for this team now. So we'll get to that next. But first, we'll throw it over to the big fella.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All four. All eight. Low, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour, we'll dive into the Hall of Fame vote, take a quick peek at 2026, and talk about some stuff like, is it cooler to be your first year, or is it cooler to be your 10th year? I feel a trend coming on. So we'll get to that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll talk about Livy Dunn's, dude. And would you take the deal? Plus, fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Will Ortner on the ones and twos today. Thank you for joining us. It's time to talk some real stuff here. Roky Sass, as I like to call him, Roky Sasaki, he has chosen a team. And, you know, I think there was a while where I actually thought he wasn't going to pick the Dodgers. I really did think that. I really thought he was looking at other teams. And then it was like, dude, you're smarter than this.
I never really...
You know when you make that mistake and you're like, dude, come on, man. You're smarter than this.
Yeah, but there was never really a feeling in me that made me really sway towards another team where I'm like, I don't know, man. I think the Giants, I don't know, the Padres, the Yankees, I think they're going to be going hard after him and they might be able to swing. It just seems like the Dodgers are just getting whoever and whatever they want, and it just there's no reason for people to say no right now. It's like, wait, you're going to pay me over the next 40 years, and we're going to win every World Series for the next 10? All right, sounds good.
Roky Sass is going to get paid $760,000 next year.
How much?
$760,000.
Oh, because he's getting $7 million for the next 15 years after he retires?
He is technically considered an amateur international free agent, meaning he comes with 6 years of club control and earns a rookie salary in 2025. Got a $6.5 million signing bonus. So that deferred money and stuff, man, that doesn't count here. He is literally on the cheap.
Yeah, and I was reading something today about how he stayed away from getting Tommy John surgery a few years back, and he didn't want to risk a potential career.
They told him he should?
Yeah, and he said, I do not want to do that because I don't want to have a potential career risking surgery that could change things dramatically, and especially when I'm trying to go make money overseas here soon, that I don't want to chance that. So.
And then the next year, he had like the best season of his career.
Yeah. So, but
do you think if he goes out with a Dodger rotation, he's like, yo, you guys are buying, right?
Oh, for sure.
Shohei's like, not me. I only make $2 million, dude.
Yeah,
I only make $2 million.
Let me
a year,
show
dude.
You my paycheck.
Go talk to my boy Yamamoto, dude. Yoshi, he's got the tab. Tyler Glasnow's like, hi, kids, can I hang out with you?
Or they should ask the Dodgers owner. You see him giving $100 million to the wildfire relief.
What a great guy.
Well, it's better than
go
what
Dodgers,
the...
go blue.
Well, it's better than what the L.A. teams did combined. Do you see that?
I love when you see billionaires who are like, I'll give $5 million.
It was 12 teams, 12 L.A. teams, and they're like, yeah, we'll give you guys $8 million. It's like... wait,
Jeannie Buss is like, here's $10.
800? No, just $8.
She might not have $8 million.
Really?
They're not super rich.
Jeannie Buss?
She owns the Lakers.
Yeah, it's one of those
it's
where
not that
it's
profitable
it's
nowadays.
Like,
no,
Hank Steinbrenner's a little cash-strapped right now.
She's cash poor. Essentially, she's cash poor. Similar to Davis.
She
Mark
doesn't
Davis.
Have a lot of liquid assets.
Yes.
She's sitting on, assets, just not liquid.
So if you're cash-strapped but you got liquid assets, how do you change that?
No, she doesn't have liquid assets.
It's what she owns.
Oh, well then how do you change that?
You sell it.
How's it like? Yo, I own the Lakers, and Joe's like, you're buying dinner tonight. It's like, actually, my card got declined.
I am
Starbucks today.
Why do you think that Mark Davis eats at P.F. Chang's all the time?
Moths flying out of her pocket.
I just assume Mark Davis eats at P.F. Chang's because he's Mark Davis.
Yeah, he's got no money.
Hey, he likes his Chang sauce.
Hey, man, I ain't got no money. I can't afford P.F. Chang's.
Neither can I.
He's got more money than I do.
Can't even afford P.F.
Rogi Sasaki, huh? What just happened there?
Roki Sasaki sits in this Dodger rotation of Yamamoto, Glasnow, Snell, Ohtani, and Sasaki. I have to imagine that there's no pressure on him, right?
A lot less pressure than Yoshi. I mean, you are kind of
You think Yoshi has the most of them?
Well, I think just the timing of it. It's like Yoshi was the first Japanese player pitcher to come over.
$300 million.
Yeah.
$325, I believe.
That'll do it. and then the next part
is... And then God, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, it's like there is a bunch of other guys on this team where it is going to make him kind of easy to... Oh, God, I'm seeing the bottom line here. Dodgers strike deal with Kirby Yates, one year, 13. It's like, come on, dude. Yeah. Wait, I'm getting a call from the L.A. Dodgers. They want to sign me, too. Okay. But, yeah, way less pressure on him. You aren't coming in with a fat contract like that. It's very high reward, low risk, I want to say, because of that. If it doesn't work out, whatever, you're not spending a fortune for him. And if it does, and he throws a 2.1 ERA and is just as dominant as people expect him to be, then great. Worked out well.
I'm curious if you
have the pressure for him. It's got to be nice coming into this team because, there's going to be eyeballs on you to perform, but it's not going to be like, all right, man, we put in a lot of money into you, and you're going to be our ace one day. They're hoping that he can be there 3 or 4 for the next 5-6 years, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of interested in when it comes to Roki. Like, if you've got him under control for 6 years, it's kind of like the Shohei thing. Like, the Angels had him. Once they got him, they had him for years. Is Roki just setting up to be the big chip to move? Like, if Roki comes out and has a 2.5, 3.5 ERA at the deadline, and you really need somebody because he's cheap, is he expendable? Or is he truly the future post-Blake Snell, Yamamoto, Glasnow, the older guys on the big deals that are going to be really hard to move? Does Sasaki become the big chip that allows you to maneuver if you really need to? Say Mookie goes down, or say Shohei goes down, and you need a big bat in the middle of the lineup. Is Roki the guy that you can dangle out there because he's so cheap?
I guess. I never thought of that as that, because they are so... have so much talent on this team that do you get to a point where you can leverage him to build up your farm system a little bit more down the road? But I can't imagine that you are acquiring this guy to have a half season with him to see what he can do and then use him as leverage. I mean, if you get a half season of him playing as well as what we're saying, like 2.5 ERA or something like that, sub 3, he's just dominant, then the Dodgers will probably sign him to something long term. Like, I don't think you're bringing him in and convincing him to play for LA just for, a short amount of time. I hear what you're saying. Like, you can, if the season doesn't go the way that you think, if you're down a few guys and you're at the trade deadline and you're 500 and it might, Shohei or Mookie or Freddie or whoever the hell is, Glasnow's out for the season. And you're
Michael,
like,
Conforto goes down. You got a big gap in left field.
Yeah, man. That's tough. Then I see what you're saying. But again, I think that they're going to base what the future looks like with him off of what they see this season. Now, if he gets that, I don't even see them getting rid of him after one season if he gets just absolutely shellacked in the first year.
He's so cheap. There's no reason why you would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, what if I told you that he is one of 13 starting pitchers for the Dodgers?
Including me. That's what the offer was for.
Oh, 14. Yeah. One of 14. Joe's going
to
throw.
You don't want to see my junk, all right?
Part of me kind of does.
Oh, it's nasty. It is nasty.
Yeah. You just draw a nice warm bash. some Cavathier.
It is some nasty stuff.
Then you put it in. All right, when we come back, what do you make of this? What do you make of this? We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, Teddy and the Fin. Hall of Fame coming up at 8 o'clock. Plus, at the bottom of the hour, we'll do Fair or Foul, a Will Ortner or edition of that. Plus, we'll chat a little Paul Skeens and a little fun. Thank you. Shout out to all those of you on YouTube.
All zero
of you. Happy to have you. I look great today.
I think we have two viewers right now, and it's you and me.
Sick, dude.
I went to go check the chat. Dude,
not even Will's on the YouTube.
No, I'm watching right now. I'm just under the 1080 one.
So wait, we have negative one viewers?
We have negative one viewers right
now. If you don't count us, how does that even work?
Like I said, my mom doesn't even listen.
We owe YouTube money.
I thought YouTube was free.
Isn't that funny how your family, who's supposed to be your biggest supporters, don't listen to anything you do on this station?
No, not at all.
I've told them to stop listening.
I don't know.
I think I could quit this job and my mom wouldn't know for a decade.
I think my peepaw, Fisher Jr., he listens on Sundays. But I've told him multiple times. I was like, you know, Patrick and I were on Tuesday nights. Oh, Patrick. I love Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's Tuesday night. You know, you can watch it while you're at home.
Tuesday I was busy. Jeopardy.
Ripping up a rotisserie chicken. My hands had grease all over them.
According to the roster on ESPN, I came across this on Reddit, which is the only social media that I partake in these days due to obvious reasons. Somebody posted this. According to ESPN, there are 13 starting pitchers on the Dodgers. And actually, this came out
14
before Roky Sasaki. So the answer is
this
actually 14.
Right here, baby.
These are the guys on the roster that technically count as starting pitchers. Edgardo Henriquez, Kyle Hurt, Landon Knack,
well, none of those
Michael
guys
Kopech, Dustin May, Bobby Miller, Evan Phillips, River Ryan, Emmett Sheehan, Blake Snell, Gavin Stone, Alex Vesia, Justin Robleski, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, I did not say Shohei Ohtani or Tyler Glasnow. This team is stupid.
Well, to take one away, Kopech isn't really a starting
pitcher. I missed this. There was two screens. Landon Knack, Edgardo Henriquez, Tony Gonsolin, Tyler Glasnow, Landon Knack, Dustin May, Bobby Miller, River Ryan, Emmett Sheehan, Blake Snell, Gavin Stone, Justin Robleski, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and Roky Sasaki. That's 14.
Not enough, in my opinion. I think you need more. I think, 14 starting pitchers. If your pitcher isn't pitching, if he's pitching once every 3-4 weeks, you have a problem. You need to figure that out.
Bobby Miller pitched last year as a starter. Gavin Stone pitched last year as a starter. Dustin May's coming back, ready to rumble. Tony Gonsolin, a postseason hero. Those aren't even in the rotation. Do you think you can move these guys around into bullpen leverage modes? Or are these the guys that start games because someone's hurt? Or you want to give an off day? Because let's be real, Shohei's going to need off days. He's not going to be a full-time, every fifth day starting pitcher, right?
No.
No way.
No.
So insert Gavin Stone?
Landon Knack? Insert, I mean, some of these guys, there's no way.
Insert
that,
Bobby Miller, but Gavin
some of
Stone
these guys and, are not going to be on the
but
opening
Gavin Stone
day
and Bobby Miller threw starts last year. Where's, Clayton Kershaw's not even on this
okay,
list.
Okay, let's go through these like one by one. Edgardo Henriquez.
Okay, out.
Not happening. Landon Knack.
Okay, out.
Next one on Dustin May.
Dustin May is going to start.
He's,
roster resource. FanGraphs has him as the sixth starter.
Bobby Miller, yes. River Ryan.
I love his name, though.
Yeah, cool name, but sorry, I don't need a country album from
the big questions for me are Bobby Miller and Gavin Stone. Those guys threw massive innings last year. Clayton Kershaw's not on this list. That's three bona fide starters that don't fit into your top five. To add to Tony Gonsolin.
God, I totally forgot they got Blake Snell, too.
I know. It's easy to forget. And May's coming back. So you got five starters that would start on a majority of teams in this league that don't sniff the top five. How do you manage that? How do you deal with that? What is the game plan going forward? How do you keep Gavin Stone fresh, who was pretty good last year for the Dodgers? Bobby Miller is one of their biggest pitching prospects because they only sign free agents these days. How do you get those guys enough innings to be ready to start when you need them in case of injury, off days, etc.? I don't know the answer to that. Is Dave Roberts truly about to show me that he's the greatest manager since sliced bread?
Again, this Justin Robleski guy doesn't even have a picture on ESPN. That's at least, I've eliminated at least four of these guys.
Okay, so the answer is still nine.
Yeah, it's...
And Kershaw's not on the list.
Well, I mean, is Kershaw even going to play this year?
Yes, of course he is. He's going to be dude waving the flag.
I don't know. You're going to trade some of these guys. Some of these dudes are going to just be, as far as, sixth, seventh, eighth dude. Also, Dodgers' track record over the last few years as far as starting pitcher goes, there's going to be three or four guys consistently out. That's probably why they have so many starting pitchers. It seems like they have someone go down every other week. As soon as one guy comes back, another one hits the IR, and then another one goes with him for 15 or for 10 days, and then the 60-day guy comes back, but then he got two guys go on the 10-day. Like, starting pitching, there's part of me that doesn't blame them for getting 12 starting pitchers ready for the season, possibly 13.
Joe, I'll give you Gavin Stone, Bobby Miller, and Dustin May for Jackson Holliday.
No. No.
Three starters.
Yeah, I
know. Three ready-to-go now starters.
I'm good.
On a team that has zero starters.
Did you see what he did once he got called up for the second time?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I can also predict what those starters are going to do. I think you got signed with the Dodgers. I think I'm about to get signed for the Orioles.
Dude.
You're a better athlete than me, so you deserve the
good
Dodgers.
Good, fun, young squad. I hope you enjoyed out there.
Dude, clubhouse guy.
Over in the Chesapeake Bay.
Gym rat. First in, last out.
You got to trade some of these guys. Some of them have got to be either converted to bullpen, or some of them are just going to be happy to...
Where in the bullpen with Blake Treinen and Kirby Yates?
Are they
about to get Josh Hader? Is Emmanuel Clase going to L.A.?
Nope. Actually, my phone...
Kenley Jansen? They get Mo out of retirement?
Well, you might have to get out of jail first.
Whoopsies. Your favorite manager can't F this up.
He can't. No, he can.
No,
he can for sure F this up.
I don't think
he
can F this up.
Dave Roberts can for sure F this up.
I don't think he can. That's a tall task.
Tito wouldn't F this up.
Yeah, they have a billion pitchers. Mm-hmm. It's like the half their 40-man roster right there.
They had to figure out some moves to get Kirby Yates to sign.
Yeah, and he's not even on this list.
Yeah, I know.
My God.
All right, we come back. We'll get into the second hour. Loaded way to get there.
I do like the top comment. If you have 13 starting pitchers, you have five starting pitchers.
That is the truth.
Yeah.
We come back. We'll get into the second hour. A lot to get to. Paul Skeens, rookie card. What would you take to get that card out of your hands? Plus fair or foul at the bottom of the hour. And we'll start off with the Hall of Fame. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner. Tanae the Fan.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase... Oh, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. Missing the first hour, you can download that fan podcast at tinofthefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including places that rhyme with Livy Dunify. Oh, I'd subscribe.
We've already subscribed.
Yeah, I'm definitely a follower of hers on Instagram.
I asked Joe about an over-under on this because there is a large basketball game looming in town tonight.
Oh. It's not Pitt, North Carolina?
I mean, I'm more interested in that.
My Pitt Panthers.
I love that this game is 55-52 oh. Bucks over Sirs.
This team.
Right now.
Yeah, that's,
I'm happy for TNT.
Who's that number zero guy for the Bucks? He's
Scoot?
Pretty good.
No, Scoot Henderson?
Number zero for the Bucks. We should try and go after him.
They get Jimmy Butler. Is that Jimmy Butler wearing number zero?
I don't know who that guy is, but he looks pretty good.
Are the Heat still mad at us that now that Jimmy Butler wants out? I did see some shade on the Blazers subreddit. It wasn't about Danny Morang this
Holy
time.
Holy crap, that's Damian Lillard.
But I did see somebody came into the Blazers subreddit a week ago and blamed Jimmy Butler wanting out on the Blazers not trading them Damian Lillard.
Wait, they're blaming Jimmy Butler wanting out now for...
Because the Blazers wouldn't send Dame to the Heat for their garbage package.
How about that? That's,
that's some deep salt.
The Heat fan already didn't like Portland Trailblazers, but that's even more of a reason. It's like, wow, we wouldn't lose Jimmy if it weren't for if he would have just given us
Dame free.
for a washer and dryer, then Jimmy Butler would still be there. I say they try to bring Jimmy back one more time.
I was just happy that they weren't blasting our friend Danny Morang.
That's kind of funny.
It's usually what that subreddit does.
It's kind of funny.
What, I read the comments.
The Heat or the Portland?
The Portland one.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Heat subreddit.
It's friendly fire.
Danny, no love lost between him and the Heat fan base at this point.
That's the truth. All right, we got Fair Foul coming up in the bottom of the hour, plus Livy Dunn here in about 15 minutes, but let's get into this.
We can't do Livy Dunn right now?
No, we can't do. You got to wine and dine her. As they talked about in the club hour, she needs a little bit of wooing and maybe a lot of wooing.
You know what? I'm just going to, you just do this segment. I'll just stare at her Instagram page for the next 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. Then it's just me. The 2025 Hall of Fame voting results came out. We got three people coming in.
Remember, you need a C average.
God, she's so hot.
To pass the list.
Oh, sorry.
There's that actress lady that I really like with the big talent.
Sydney Sweeney?
Yeah.
Spokane's finest.
Is she Spokane?
From Spokane?
That's my hometown.
I don't know where she's from.
That's my hometown.
How would I know where she's from? Who knows?
That's my hometown. That's where we from.
Spokompton, baby. Spokanistan.
That's where we from.
Getting higgy with it.
Look at you, Spokane.
Spokane, dude.
What is in the water?
Sweeney.
What is in the milk?
Crosby, dude. This is amazing.
What is in the dairy products?
Just a trifecta.
What that?
Just a trifecta. Adam Morrison, too. Throw that in there, too. The stash.
Hall of Fame, what?
Hall of Fame. Three people going to the Hall of Fame. That would be Billy Wagner on his 10th year on the ballot. And two first-timers, Karsten Charles Sabathia III and Ichiro Suzuki.
Totally threw me off as if that was Ichiro's real first name. Karsten Suzuki. Karsten Ichiro Suzuki.
Karsten Charles Sabathia III.
Gotcha.
See how I wear my hat just askew to the right?
Yeah, I told you to do that because fella. I thought it would be cool.
Nah, that's from the big fella when he was in Cleveland, the big boy.
Yeah, that is a true story that you do wear your hat like that because of old CeCe.
I am glad that CeCe Sabathia got in. I do think he is a Hall of Fame caliber pitcher. I do think it helped that he pitched in New York. I do think it helped that he won a World Series there. The lights were on him. He kind of changed his pitching style as he evolved. Lost a ton of weight while he was in New York. He looks great as a human being right now for just a large man size. It's like I see Will Ortner over there. And when I saw Will Ortner 2 years ago.
Will, you look great as a human being right now.
2 years ago, that Will Ortner would have eaten the current Will Ortner. Like, he looks good. CeCe looks great right now. But he was a big, big fella when he pitched, and there was something fun about him. He won two Cy Youngs, one as a Cleveland Indian, one as a Milwaukee Brewer after being traded halfway through the season. CeCe is one of my favorite pitchers I ever watched. There's kind of multiple generations.
Well, who
right?
doesn't like a fat pitcher?
Of course. There's multiple generations. There's my early generation, which is Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, Pedro Martinez, Randy Johnson. Like, those are some of my guys. And then the newer genre, those guys are starting to get in the Hall of Fame, and CeCe was always up there for me. I'm very happy he's going in. Not because I'm an Indians fan, but I think CeCe was one of the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in the league since 2003?
I think so.
Something around there.
Something like that.
Pulled up
he
right
pitched
now.
For a long time.
2001. 2001 to 2019 was his career. I mean, he was in those mid-2000s. He was at Cleveland. Again, you're right where him going to New York gave him even more notoriety. But if you remember him in his Cleveland days, dude was one of the best in the league. And again, you got to appreciate a fat pitcher, but the dude threw gas. Dude was dominant.
He pitched for 2 months in Milwaukee, and everybody's like, is this the best pitcher in baseball? For 2 months. I don't even know if they made the playoffs that year. But they traded for him at the deadline because Cleveland was like, well, this guy's about to sign a fat deal. Let's go ahead and get rid of him. And he did sign a fat deal with the Yankees, and then he won a World Series with them.
I'm trying to get some of his career stats pulled up.
He's not a 300 win. He's not a 3,000 K.
He's got a 3.74 ERA, 251 wins, 61.8 career WAR. Strikeouts. Looking at it right now. Strikeouts, 3,093.
Oh, he is a 3,000 guy.
Yeah.
I think CeCe is going to be kind of a litmus test for a lot of pitchers coming through as eyeball test. You know, he doesn't have 300 wins. He does have 3,000 strikeouts, so I was wrong on that. But I think he's going to start this litmus test of looking at guys that pitchers and saying, is that guy a Hall of Famer? And I think you look at CeCe and say, yes, that guy's a Hall of Famer. Watching that guy throughout his career, is he one of the best to ever do it in that era? Yes, the answer is yes.
Well, again, those mid-2000s, man, he was...
dominant.
Yes. That when he went to New York, he was still good there, but he was not nearly as good
he's
as
not
he
Cleveland
was.
Good.
No. No, and that's what I liked about CeCe is that he made his name, he made his career, And he had his best years in Cleveland in those mid 2000 years where there was really good pitchers then.
And as somebody who didn't make the ballot, that I would argue why CC benefits from being in New York is Felix Hernandez.
I was about to go there with my next question because if
Felix,
there's a
without
producer,
a doubt, is a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
If there's a producer on the Hot Corner, he's got to be a Mariners honk.
I'm so glad he's not here tonight because he would be losing his S right now.
Well, but like you kind of have to a little bit for Felix.
That's him throwing up.
Felix won a Cy Young with like 12 wins.
Yeah, that's
how good he was.
And there was a year that Corey Kluber beat Felix for Cy Young. I was here with Voldemort, not in this studio, down in the poop-filled Willametta, and I said on air, if I had a vote, I would vote for Felix. And they gave it to Corey Kluber.
Felix won one Cy Young. He should have three more. I would,
without a doubt.
I'm biased. It's like him and Kershaw from that era that are the best. Now, his drop-off is immediate. Like,
yes.
He hits the cliff, Thelma and Louise, and he's down.
There you go.
He's gone. But his true peak is the best, and I worry that he's going to get screwed because if you are a voter and you're not looking at starting pitchers like, you know, they do with the Supreme Court when it's porn, right? You know it when you see it?
Mm.
Starting pitchers in the Hall of Fame, you know it when you see it, and it's him because he's not going to have the numbers in the win column that everyone else has.
Well, and it's funny that we were talking about that Felix Corey Kluber comparison right there because I'm looking at a list that they have of best pitchers since the year 2000, right? So
Bartolo Colon,
2000 to the year 2020, so you know the last
so that
20 years. And on this list at 15 is Felix Hernandez, but they put Kluber at number 12. Do you know how many more strikeouts Felix has in Kluber?
Well, I think the interesting thing with Kluber is Kluber had 4 years of absolute dominance, a slider that was unhittable. Felix was that for 8 years. Maybe 10 years.
Well, and that goes into it, though. It's like, what is a Hall
of Fame? Kluber went to a World Series.
What's a Hall of Fame career?
Pitched 3 games in a World Series.
Felix has probably the most one-run given up losses of all time.
Of all time. Randy Johnson might be the other.
Also, for what it's worth, Felix Hernandez has about 1,100 more strikeouts than Corey Kluber does over his career.
1,100.
1,461 compared to 25-24.
And see, that's just people not watching the Pacific
Northwest.
Well,
I think that we have a geographic bias here, and I wouldn't even say it's a bias. It's just we spend a lot of our time watching the Mariners and watching Felix pitch. We know how good he is. One of my most favorite live sporting moments was going up to T-Mobile Park 2 years ago to watch his jersey get retired. I'll always remember that. That was one of the best times I've ever had in a ballpark, because here I am as an Orioles fan and I'm cheering just as hard as anybody else in that stadium because I know how great of a player pitcher he was and how important he is to that franchise, but also just to the game of baseball, man. His perfect game. I know exactly where I was. I was watching it down in Eugene. I was trying to look for apartments before I moved down there, and me and the girl were sitting down having lunch, and it was on the TV, and we were watching. I was watching it. Of course, she doesn't know jackass about baseball, so I'm telling
her. Final score of that game?
Perfect. 1-0?
1-0.
I don't even remember. I was just like, Felix got a win for once. It was probably a 1-0 game.
I saw Felix Hernandez. I saw one time I went to the Unit versus the King, and Randy was in New York, and New York was in town to play the Mariners, and it was Felix against Randy Johnson. Felix threw 7 innings, gave up 1 run. Randy threw 8, gave up 0. Yankees won 2-0.
That was classic. Felix was notorious for having like 10 strikeouts. Ichiro would get 2 singles, and the Mariners would have 3 hits total.
And I think what's garbage about this like regional bias BS stuff is like the game is not that way anymore. Like, we can watch Ellie De La Cruz in Cincinnati. Corbin Burns, I didn't need to see him on Baltimore to know that he's good because I watched him in Milwaukee. You know, like, the way baseball is now, this like, oh, I don't stay up late to watch stuff. Look, we know who Mason Miller is and Brent Rooker and Butler and those kids in Oakland that are really good because the game is not as niche regionally as it used to be. You don't have to be in New York to get to the World Series or to get to the Hall of Fame, but apparently they do. Because that's shown right here.
Well, just look at the Ichiro voting.
And
it's that simple. Look at Ichiro and Ken Griffey Jr.
Exactly, and that's where I want to go next. We're going to stick.
What about Livy Dunn next?
We're going to bump Livy for a little bit.
She can be in my fair or foul. I got you.
We're going to bump Livy for a moment. We'll get to her in fair or foul. Let's stick with this Hall of Fame thing. We'll do that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Will Ordner on the ones and twos, 1080 The Fan. I want you to be my
thing. Running in hell. My God.
Just a reminder, fans, about Die Hard Night coming up here at the stadium. Free admission to anyone who was actually alive the last time the Indians won a pennant.
It's always baseball season. This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
The good news is we were all alive the last time the Indians won a pennant. That'd be 2016, baby, at Game 1, Game 2. First time I ever hated Mother Nature. She screwed us.
What?
2016 World Series? Rajay Davis hits that home run. Dude, momentum's on her side, and then the rain comes in.
Oh, you know, there were six other games.
Game two was so cold.
Was that in Cleveland or Chicago? I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, it's November in either of those places. Yeah.
Game one was fun because we were all jacked up, but game two was so cold and it was raining. My mom's favorite story is Coco Crisp was in right field doing jumping jacks to stay warm.
God, what a great.
She's like, I love that guy. He's so cute.
What a great baseball name.
And I was like, I love him too, Mom, but it's more about Frankie. Get a hit!
Mom, shut up.
Shut up, Mom! Trevor Bauer's finger's bleeding again!
Coco Crisp, that's got to be a top 10 name in baseball history.
Dude, Coco Crisp and Milton Bradley, dude?
It was cereal
and board games in the outfield, dude. That's what I used to say in Cleveland.
It was originally Cavelli Crisp.
Oh,
might
is that
be
his real
a
name?
Better name.
What about Johnny Dickshot?
There are names from the back in the day that we literally can't say due to FCC rules.
Or Jack Glasscock. These are names. When I Google best names in baseball history, and it gives me the from sources across the web, the first name that pops up is Coco Crisp.
I mean, it's pretty good.
And Rusty Koontz.
Rusty Kuntz.
I'm going to say Koontz just so that way I don't get fired.
Koontz.
What about Boof Bonzer?
Boof is pretty good.
Boof.
Real quickly, before we get into the
Oil
real story.
Oil Can Boyd.
Real quickly, before we get into the real story, I just want to say all these people deserve to lose their votes. All these names of people that I'm going to tell you are people that I watched and thought were very good baseball players, but in no way, shape, or form are Hall of Famers. Ian Kinsler got 10 votes.
All right.
Russell Martin got 9. Brian McCann was 7. Troy Tulowitzki got 4. 3 people voted for Curtis Granderson. Your boy Adam Jones, who I love, got 3 votes.
Just got a job with the Orioles.
Carlos Gonzalez got 2 votes. Like, guys, what are we doing here?
I would love to know the guy that did not give Ichiro his
vote.
And
that's the next question.
I want to see his ballot.
What the hell is your problem? Like,
did I not call that a couple weeks ago?
You did, and I'm so mad that you're right. Because I just firmly believe when Mo got in, 100%, this was going to open the door. It was going to say, okay, we can get past this curmudgeon BS, and we can say, look, Ichiro's a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer. Albert Pujols, bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer. Clayton Kershaw, bona fide first ballot. Like, let's just start voting for guys because they deserve it. Miguel Cabrera, you're a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't care about all these. Okay, so Kershaw was bad in the playoffs, but the dude's one of the greatest pitchers I ever seen in my life. Okay? Yankee Stadium used to chant, who's your daddy to Pedro Martinez, who might be the greatest pitcher of all time. Like, if you know they're in. And to not put Ichiro, I just thought he would be the number two. And now that he's not the number two, it terrifies me that nobody else will be 100%. Because it's like, now I found a reason. You know, it's almost like that one guy who was like, I don't think I'm going to vote for Mariano Rivera because I bet you will get 100%. And I'm going to be the guy to buck that trend, but decided to vote for him anyway. And then was like, damn it, I missed it. I won't forget next time.
I mean,
I'm not voting for Ichiro.
Literally, the next unanimous possible we have all time might be another Japanese player, and that's Shohei Ohtani in 25 years or whatever.
Derek Jeter's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, or 100%.
Ken Griffey.
Right.
Ken Griffey.
Greg Maddux.
There are five people that didn't vote for Griffey.
Tony Gwynn.
I mean, let's say Shohei Ohtani's career plays out like it's been happening the last couple of years. Just doesn't miss many games because of injury. Dominant at bat. Dominant hitter. Even gets to pitch a little bit more and starts pitching again and finishes out his career just as good as it's been going. What excuse are you going to have to not vote him as a Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
What's your excuse for not voting for the greatest hitter of all time? Didn't seem like he was ever committed
to. Not sure he was ever committed to one position, and therefore I'm out.
But it's been something that's happened in the history of the voting. I think Ted Williams has like 85% of the vote.
And how is it Mariano freaking Rivera? A closer. That's the one who gets the 100.
And there's only one closer in the Hall of Fame of all time.
It's insane.
Before Mo, and it's Dennis Eckersley. And now you're like, I think it's because people are like, he won't be 100%. I think it's a real thing. I think it's a real thing that these idiots, these old curmudgeons, these boomers, don't want to give the satisfaction because Babe Ruth wasn't 100% and Mickey Mantle wasn't 100% and Bob Gibson wasn't 100%. Stan Musial wasn't 100%. So nobody can be 100%.
So do you think these writers get together at like a luncheon and it's like, all right, who's falling on the sword this year?
No, I think there's some dude at his house that's like, I'm going to be the guy.
My dad fought in World War II, okay?
Yeah, and damn it. Bob Feller fought next to my dad, and that guy didn't get 100%.
My dad was on Iwo Jima.
So I'll be damned if this damn Japanese player gets 100%. Who won the war? Am I right? Am I right?
USA. 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 USA.
I'm sure there's some loser like that.
It's their 15 seconds. That's exactly what it is. Some part of them enjoys it to the utmost degree. It's sick. It's the same people who hate watch. Like, it's you're a Cougars fan, it's when you get to hate watch the Huskies. You're a Duck fan, it's when you get to hate watch the Huskies. It's a hate watch, but now you actually get to do a vote.
Jeez, you
just, we're not on the same team.
You guys both hate the Huskies.
Different types of hate.
Same.
Those are different. Like those are like Nepo babies hating each other.
Oh, okay.
Mine is a kid from the slums.
What did we ever do wrong to you? Beat us 4 years in a row.
Somebody said to me the other day, you're a Wazoo fan? And I was like, honey, nobody chooses to be a Wazoo fan. We're alumni.
We earned this.
Yeah. Nobody is like, you know what? I like their jerseys. I choose them.
Unless you play with them on like NCAA 07 or something like that.
Destroy.
I've always been a big fan of maroon.
Crimson. So, yeah. So, hopefully this isn't...
Will we ever find out who this is? Are they ever...
No, because they're
coward. No, because their ballot was anonymous. They are not required. The Baseball Writers Association of America does not require you to make your ballot public.
That is why this keeps happening.
And that's why Larry Stone's going to give me a vote.
Because people would be properly shamed if they had to own up to it. It is ironic, as a someone who graduated with a Big J journalism degree, that the people who whine and cry about the players not doing what they're supposed to do, who whine and cry about, you know, the players not standing up for what they believe in, that they're the ones who are upset when it comes to accountability.
Patrick.
Sorry, we were talking trash about Will. Got busted.
It only hurt my feelings just a little.
Got busted. Do any of these names do it for you on the 2026 Hall of Fame ballot? God.
No.
Hunter Pence. Nick Markakis. Shin-Soo Chu. Ryan Braun.
Okay.
And the best chance of all of them, Cole Hamels. Cole Hamels, a Hall of Famer?
I hesitated.
Yep, there you go. Great pitcher. I really enjoyed him. Great World pitcher. Series MVP. Loved Cole Hamels. Not a Hall of Famer.
But I hesitated. Yeah, sorry.
Those are your first ballot guys, along with Rick Porcello.
Oh, my God.
Chris Davis with a C.
What?
like my Chris Davis.
Your Chris Davis is eligible for the Hall of Fame next
one,
year.
Hey, one of the greatest power hitting displays over a 3-year span that we've ever seen.
Next right. to Barry Bonds, you got it.
Followed by the worst hitting slate over the next 3-4 years after that, ever.
Howie Kendrick, you remember when the Nationals won the World Series and he had the car thing?
Yeah, make a plaque of that, I guess, and put it in the Hall of Fame.
Matt Kemp, Jason Kipnis.
Okay, what do we... Come on.
The question I ask you guys is, Carlos Beltran had 70% of the vote.
He better get in.
Andrew Jones had 66.2. Next year will be his 10th season.
Who, Beltran or Jones?
Andrew Jones. Manny Ramirez off the ballot.
Well, that's what you get.
No, sorry. Manny's last year will be next year. Andrew Jones will be ninth year.
And what'd Manny get? Like 50 something?
34%.
Oh, God. Yeah,
it's trending the wrong way.
Yeah, he's cooked. well, I guess then.
I think they're going to put in Beltran next year, and that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe Andrew Jones gets in because there's lack of votes.
Yeah.
Maybe Felix Hernandez.
Honestly, I would be cool with just those two next year.
Why Omar Vizquel's not in the Hall of Fame, I don't know.
But... Oh, he got, like, what, 8% vote or something this year?
It was 17.
Really, 17, okay. I knew it was low, but sheesh.
Do you guys like the trend of a bunch of 10th-year guys getting in? Tim Rock Raines, Edgar Martinez, Billy Wagner.
I don't mind it, but also I hope that those guys even realize, like,
of all the dudes that got in their 10th year, Edgar is clearly the best of all of them. Billy Wagner, great closer. Great closer. If you look at his stats, though, he's Hall of Fame worthy. I just don't know if I watched Billy Wagner and said that's a Hall of Famer.
I want to see.
He's like top five in a lot of stuff.
Is there like a list of all the players who got named on their 10th ballot?
I'm sure there is somewhere.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
In my recent history, I know Tim Rock Raines, Edgar Martinez, and Billy Wagner. Those are the three I can think of.
Well, and Edgar was more about his position, right?
Right. Edgar was a debate on his position, but that didn't stop them from putting in David Ortiz.
Oh, he was so fast.
And he did steroids. I remember him in Minnesota. Big boy. Quick question. Quick fair foul.
Well, exactly. He was a big boy in Minnesota and Boston, so therefore the steroids were just masked.
Yeah. Not quite fair or foul, but can you name the top four vote getters in the history of the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, it's Mo. Oh, vote getters, not percentage.
Percentage.
Oh, it's Mo, Derek Jeter, Ichiro, and Ken Griffey Jr.
Which two teams are those?
Yankees and Mariners.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, and I know all that because literally I had that in front of my face 10 minutes ago, and I was like, oh, look at that. Two Yankees and two Mariners.
Isn't that wild?
That is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely insane. All right, when we come back, we'll do everybody's favorite fair or foul, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. But first, we'll throw it over to Will with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without any further ado, we'll turn it over to our fantastic fill-in weatherman, William Ortner, state champion producing talent coach of the offensive line, right side of the offensive line at Hawkinson, Ortner.
Getting those hog mollies ready.
He's only right side guy. Left side, he's not ready for left side.
Oh, see, I'm only a left side.
He's not ready for left side. That's for the big boy O-line coaches. He's still building the right side.
You guys have
they get a lefty next year, then it's Ortner's time to shine on that right side.
Tell me you're serious. So you actually have a left side offensive line coach and a right side?
Yeah, he's the
strong
right side.
Strong side and weak side. Come on now.
Are you serious right
strong
now?
Strong side.
Every single football team has a left side.
Has a left side and right side. Come on,
no,
Joe. I don't even watch football and I know
yes,
this.
They do.
No, they don't. Since when?
Since never, idiot.
Thank you.
Yeah, what is your problem?
Okay.
We almost had you.
Left side, right
well,
side.
I was going to say, I was like, our school.
Is there a middle guy that just does centers?
Well, hey, I didn't know. I thought maybe high schools were doing this now.
If the tight end lines up on the right side, does that fall into you? But do you got to co-work with the left side guy in case he lines up on the left side?
Depends.
I was like, no wonder.
If he does well, then I did
game.
It. If depends, he does
maybe
bad,
Joe's
then he's
got
not
some
my
depends
guy.
On right now.
We almost got him there for a second.
They're doing things different up there.
I could have let it go, but I couldn't. I had to bust in there.
I don't know. Maybe I thought this was a new high school trend that was going on where coach they got one extra O-line coach.
No, dude, the high school trend.
Hitting that Rizzler face.
Hitting that Riz, dude.
Speaking of trends, the Mariners suck. the Mariners don't make any major moves in the offseason.
Fair.
Foul, the worst offseason ever in their history.
Oh, God. I mean, I don't have any for context outside of this one, but
I did see that in the last three off seasons, they've spent $33 million.
Last three?
Yeah.
Combined?
Yeah.
Including this year or the three before this?
The two before and this year.
Yeah. I mean, last year was pretty rough because
Mitch
Garver. Because he had DePoto saying really stupid stuff, too. That did not help anything. Dude, it's kind of hard to think of a more lackluster Mariners offseason than the one we're going through.
The second best rotation in baseball behind a team who spends $1 billion.
Yeah, it's really hard to think of another year.
Go Tribe.
Combined with you shouldn't be able to say that. How dare you?
I got the hat on and everything, dude. I'm back.
I'm going to say fair because expectations have been going up over the last couple years. And their spending and their will to make the team better seems to be going down. And those two things are not matching up. And I feel like for the first time in a long time, that Mariners fandom and their feelings towards this franchise and this front office and this team is their positivity is waning. They're slowly becoming the Portland Trailblazers of the MLB.
I will also say fair. It's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. But to save Schulte from pooping and throwing up again like he's already doing.
At the same time.
I will say fair.
It's frustrating as a Mariners fan. The Dodgers, they get another big signing. Obviously, they go in and just bolster up their starting pitching staff. Fair or foul, another easy march to the championship.
I'll start with this one. I firmly believe this. I said this last year, and it's not that I didn't think that they would win. It's that I still firmly believe that baseball is baseball, and you still have to play it, and pitchers don't always have their game on. Even, you know, I'm looking at this list of Hall of Fame percentage votes for people. And I've seen Mariano Rivera blow a postseason save. Okay. I have seen, Randy Johnson get hit. I've seen Maddox lose it. So I will always, always lean on the side that baseball is baseball. So I will say foul for that matter. I do think they will win the title, but I don't think it will be a cakewalk. As long as they don't play the Yankees and the fifth inning doesn't happen. I think it will be it'll still be a challenge. They'll still have to earn it.
Cakewalk for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
I'm going to say fair. This is just, they have all the confidence in the world. They seemingly got better. They kept the majority of their offensive pieces. I mean, I don't know if anybody from their one, Teoscar's coming back?
Teoscar's back.
And then obviously you have your three stalwarts. I mean,
newest person to that is Michael Conforto, who's going to play right.
And he's probably going to hit 20 bombs and 80 RBIs, batting like 230 or something like that, which is pretty damn good in Michael Conforto terms.
Yeah.
I have no reason to believe that this team is going to get challenged throughout the year.
And the NL West looks pretty good.
Yeah, but dude, you want to talk about who's having a rough offseason is the Padres.
I thought your fair foul was going to be like, Mariners are having a worse offseason than anybody else in baseball. It's going to be like, foul. Answers the Padres.
I mean, you got Tommy Edman coming back now.
Tommy Taters.
You get him for a full season. Yeah.
He's going to play second.
I have no reason to believe that this team will not just run through the league yet again.
For third, I've got, well, look, the Mets went out and got Soto. There's a new big bad bully in New York. Fair or foul? The Mets are going to be the preferred destination, not the Yankees in New York.
Ooh, it's interesting you say that.
Especially with the ownership.
Preferred destination? I think the answer might be fair. I think the Mets have a little, what do we say? Riz?
They got some money.
They got some riz to them right now. But Joe and I said this. We did Dirt and Sprague during the holidays, and Joe and I talked about this, and I'm sure we'll bring this up when the season gets ready to go again. The Yankees, in my opinion, are better right now than they were last year. And that's without Juan Soto.
Yeah.
So do I think people would be more inclined to be at the Mets than the Yankees right now? I think that answer is yes. Do I think the Mets are better than the Yankees? That I don't know. And I would probably lean towards no.
I would say that...
But sexy? Yeah, sexy.
I would say that players probably feel like it would be better to go to the Mets right now because... Cohen is so desperate to make a World Series winner out
and
of that
team. It sounds
team.
Like he'll pay everybody not named Pete Alonso.
That, yeah, fair point. He might even take Ryan Mountcastle right from right from my Orioles' hands.
Mountcastle, Alonso, potato, potato.
Yeah, I honestly, if you're asking me, I'd rather have Alonso if I'm speaking about my Orioles. But
Joe, I think if you're speaking about all 30 teams. Yeah, we all want Pete Alonso over Mountcastle.
Mountcastle's solid, all right? He's just not going to...
How dare you!
He's not going to just hit 30 bombs probably ever again in his career. I hope he does, though, for the sake... Because I like Ryan Mountcastle. Anyways, yeah, I think players want to go to the Mets because they know that they're going to get a huge paycheck.
I think it's sexier.
But, again, the Yankees, like we were like, oh, no, poor Yankees. They didn't get Juan Soto. I guess they can't outspend anybody anymore. And then they go and make trades, and they signed whoever. Who else? Who did they sign this offseason? Because I know some of them were trades.
I think last year there was a glaring issue.
Max Fried was a sign.
Yes. Paul Goldschmidt was a free agency. Sign. I think there was a lot of aspects looking at the Yankees last year that was like, this team is Aaron Judge, and there's no leadership, and a lot of old dudes, but they kind of cleaned all that up. Paul Goldschmidt is an old guy, but I'd have him 10 times over Anthony Rizzo. And yeah, you lose Juan Soto, but Max Fried is huge. Like, I don't, I think the Yankees are a better team now.
Gosh, yeah, Devin Williams, I forgot about that. Max Fried, Paul Goldschmidt, again, I'm nervous.
That's a leader.
Yeah, but I'm nervous as hell that's going to turn into another Josh Donaldson.
But Josh Donaldson is a bag.
But, again, Paul Goldschmidt is 37 years old.
Yeah, but he's not a bag, so.
Well, not yet. Anyways. Foul.
Joe digresses.
Fair enough. For the last fair foul. And of course, you have to ask it. Should Major League Baseball have a salary cap?
Oh, man.
Oh, I saw the Orioles owner bitching and moaning about this. He owns his team for 1 year, and
just
he's like,
bought it.
I do not want to spend money.
He's like, by the way.
Wait, hold on.
Now I understand why Baltimore hasn't won a World Series since the 80s.
Yeah, he. I saw that he came out and said that, and that there was a salary. I think that there should be a salary cap and a salary floor. I mean, you got to make teams spend. Salary cap. I instinctively say yes, but also there's part of me that does feel like if your team wants to spend that much on a player, who's to tell them no, they can't do that. No, they can't spend that much money. I think in other sports it works, but I don't know. It's tough, but I feel like you also just have some franchises that will never be able to keep up with some other ones.
Dodgers were not the number one payroll last year and won a World Series. Dodgers are now the number one payroll this year. So keep that in mind. The number one does not always win the World Series. The Cleveland Guardians were a couple outs and maybe a game or two swing away from going to the World Series. They do not spend money at all. Baseball is still baseball. My opinion, floor for sure. Floor without a doubt. Without a doubt, a floor. And I think a floor can happen. When it comes to a salary cap, I will never try to root for it because the reality is the reality. It is never, and I repeat, never going to happen. There is no way baseball could go on strike for years, and it will never happen. The players have already got it. They've already won it. They will never let it go.
Yeah.
If this were the NFL, the NBA, NHL, MLS, EPL, like the EPL now has financial fair play, where you can't spend more money than the revenue you bring in to curb what the Dodgers are doing right now. But baseball's lost it, and they will never, ever, ever give it up. And therefore, it's not worth my time, and I'll say foul.
MLB
PA. Do I want it? Yeah, of course. Of course. You're an idiot if you don't think that's a good idea. But it's never going to happen. Not worth my time.
MLB PA Executive Director Tony Clark said back in 2013, quote, "We're never going to agree to a cap."
Never.
Quote.
They never will. And yeah. They'll hold out as long as possible. They'll hold out for a decade. Baseball, they will kill baseball before they have a salary cap. They will.
We'd rather not get money. Paid.
Alex Rodriguez yeah. got two $250 million contracts. They will yeah. never give it
That's
up.
That's one of the Pandora's box
never
that
give
will
it up.
Never be able to get closed.
Never give it up.
Yeah.
Once Alex Rodriguez got 250, it's over.
Again, I think that the Orioles owner made some news by saying that this week, but that is also a new owner that
going
is
like, ah, crap.
Like, yeah, I'm never going to spend that, never going to be able to spend that to keep up with these teams. Hey, other 29 owners, I got this crazy idea. Salary cap? No.
All right, that is fair or
Trust
foul.
Trust us, we've tried. It's not going to happen, Dave. Just go ahead and sit down.
That is fair or foul. I mean, John Means could be worth $500 million. You never know. That is fair or foul.
Cool.
We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Thank you, Will, for filling on that. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up and give Joe his love on some Livy Dunn. Hot Corner, 10 of the Fan. All right, we'll be back next week with some more best bowl action for you. But apparently, we'll finish up with this. Usually, I like to goof off, but Joe was very, very upset that we couldn't get Livy Dunn into this situation. There is a baseball card that features a patch of Paul Skene's jersey and his signature. It is a one-of-one rookie card that an 11-year-old in L.A. got.
Good for that young chap.
And they offered him something to get it back. Now, I'm trying to figure out where that is.
Oh, they offered him
30 years yeah. worth of season tickets behind home plate, a meet and greet with Skene's, and two Paul Skene's signed jerseys. Skene's girlfriend, LSU gymnast and influencer, and noted hot, Livy Dunn, also offered the card's owner the opportunity to take in a game with her in a luxury suite at the ballpark during one of Skene's starts.
He's going to have to flip it into the waistband for that entire time.
I mean, can the 11-year-old, like, you know, can he perform?
Well, no. And also, I am not taking that deal. I am saying I want an indecent proposal when I turn 18. And that one game in a suite with Livy? No. When I'm 18, one night with Livy, all right? Dude, the whole Woody Harrelson, Robert Redford, Demi Moore movie there.
I have
she's mine for the night.
I have a buddy who said, I wouldn't take that deal if I lived in Pittsburgh and was a Pirates fan.
Well, I do find
he goes, you really want to go to 81 Pirates games and sit behind home plate with that trash organization? And he's a Tampa Bay Rays fan from Tampa.
Well, it's pretty funny that Bob Nutting, the owner of the Pirates, seemingly gave...
Wonderful name in relation to this story.
Was willing to give a 11-year-old more than he would give any player of that franchise, too.
Yeah, what's the value
All the
of
players are like,
30 years of season tickets behind home plate?
I think Buck and Suk, they were talking about this earlier today, and they're like, everything they were giving him, it actually like equated out to like $600,000 or something.
Oh, it's
like
not that.
That
expensive.
No, but still, when you hear like, we'll give you season tickets for 30 years, the players are like, my salary though. They're like, shut up. We want this card.
But my wife has to sit in right field behind, you know, Bobby Joe.
Yeah.
Do you think you could go to them and counter with like, let's say, I know
one night with Livy Dunn?
I know he lives in LA, but let's say the kid lives in Houston. Okay. lives in Houston, diehard Astros fan. Could you say...
Yeah, what a dumb offer. This kid lives on the other side of the country. Yeah, like, we'll give you tickets to the Pirates. Like,
what are we going to do, sell them every day on StubHub?
Yeah, it's like, I know it's going to be summertime, but, you know, I live in L.A.
Yeah. Could you say, you know what, how about 30 years of Astros season tickets behind home plate?
They just call up
and,
the Astros. And
can I get a Josh Hader and a Alex Bregman signed jersey?
That'd be so great if, yeah, he's like, well, can you get me 30 years of Dodgers games?
They're and
like, click.
And can I get a in the booth with Kate Upton? Does that count? See, I would have countered with my hometown.
Well, you also got to remember, like, this kid's 11. Are we even sure they're, like, past the point of, like, when they're flirting with a girl, it's them shoving the girl's head in sand?
Like I said, he's going to have to flip it into the waistband for that entire time in the suite with Livy Dunn.
I will have the suite with Livy Dunn in 20 years.
I don't know that.
Yeah. I'd like to wait 20 years.
Hey, Livy. Remember me.
Paul Skeens becomes, like, a meth head, and she leaves him, and you've become, like, some tech bro, and you're like, hey... 50-year-old Livy Dunn.
You're like, oh, wow.
I'm 31. You ready?
You grew up.
You ready to have the time of your life, baby?
Dude, she's so hot.
Look at Joe. Joe can't even handle himself.
Dude,
she's not that hot, Joe.
She is.
Oh, God.
And then you have to remember the fact that she's a gymnast.
You're going to make me do this.
Dude, I'm telling you.
You saying you forgot what Livy Dunn looks like?
For sure, dude.
Her Vuori commercials pop up every other ad.
I don't know what that is, man.
Their pants.
Yeah, she's all right.
She's like on a beach.
And then I'm spacing the other kid who throws a nasty slider for the Pirates. Oh, my God. He also went to LSU.
That Ortiz kid is in Cleveland now.
It's killing me. No. And, of course, if I type a Pirates pitcher, it's going to give me Paul Skeens every time. Jared Jones.
Oh, yeah.
He also went to LSU, and he also has an absolute smoke show of a girlfriend, too.
Is it coincidentally, is it Divi Lund?
No, it is not. But I remember I looked her up as well, and I was like, dude, my God.
Look, I know.
Being an LSU, a pitcher at LSU is very a fruitful endeavor.
The South, man.
I know I'm going to take heat for this. Like, Livy Dunn's hot, but like she looks every other hot.
Okay. And forgive me, he went to Texas. He played for the Texas Longhorns.
So none of this even matters, does it?
No. But she is hot, too. I will say that.
What do you think that card goes for? So if the package was
probably
600K?
Like a mil.
You think it's a mil?
Probably. And it's going to go...
You sell now, because what if Paul Skeens isn't very good? What if he blows his arm out next year and doesn't have the velocity, and Livy Dunn leaves him?
Yeah, you got to
You sell that now.
Yeah, it's probably the smart move to do. Just cut your losses.
Yeah, dude.
But you know that you got to milk this for a little bit because the value went up because of this story.
Well, yeah.
You gotta believe that. I'm holding on to it.
I also would just have it and always have it.
Oh, no, I'd sell it eventually.
The only thing I would get rid of is like Bonds home run ball. I'd shoot that ass to the moon.
Take BP with it?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, that'll do it. Big shout out to the Big Will Ortner for helping us out today. We love you, my man. It's good to see you as always. We'll be back next week and dive into some more off-season stuff as we get a little bit closer. Plus, maybe we'll do a little Super Bowl preview for some funsies. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.